Hey, this is Eric Shaw, pastor at West Shore Church in Lakewood, Ohio. Thanks for listening to this week's message. I just pray that God speaks to you right where you're at. If you live within range of us, please feel free to stop by and meet me on a Sunday. We meet every Sunday at 10 a.m. sharp. Love the chance to get to meet you. God bless you. Have a great week. Okay, well, today is Father's Day, and us men need something to grunt about. So we have a gift for you. Ron, if you could go ahead and pass those out. If you're a father, could you just raise your hand up, and the ushers will get one of these to you. I already have mine. It's very cool. Can't get by with giving dads flowers or things like that. We need something cool. Yeah. We can't do anything about the money for the money clip, but there's a couple of gadgets in there for you. But yeah. All right. Well, we want to honor our dads this morning. Perhaps you're here and your father has already passed, we certainly have the memories that we relish during these times. Gratefully, my dad is still with us. But or perhaps you're a very, very new dad. Aren't dads great? Dads have such an impact on who we are in this world. Certainly, I think that we could do some introspection and just really kind of think about, you know, how our dads have impacted us. And, you know, I saw the Green Lantern the other day. Yeah, good. It was good. And, as the purple alien guy was dying, forget his name, but he was passing on the ring to Hal Jordan. He said that it is the highest of honors and the greatest of responsibilities. And you know, it is certainly an awesome privilege and responsibility to be a dad. In fact, I can't think of another higher honor or greater responsibility than being a dad. You know, some of us may not have had the best experiences when it comes to our dads, and some may not have had that strong, consistent presence that dads are meant to fill in children's lives. Men, perhaps today is a day where you could step up to the plate in some way. And though it may be more prevalent today, this issue is not a new problem. We read Paul's words in 1 Corinthians 4:15. He says, "Even if you had 10,000 guardians in Christ, you do not have many fathers. For in Christ Jesus, I became your father through the gospel." Maybe, men, you have more to offer. Maybe, like Paul, you haven't had children. Maybe your children are grown. Maybe you have kids, but have more room in your heart. Perhaps you might consider mentoring some young boys through the Royal Ranger program that we have here at the church. Or perhaps a local Big Brothers, Big Sisters program like we have here in Greater Cleveland. There's a website there if you're interested. Maybe something to consider. We certainly have a need, a desperate need, for fathers and father figures today. Don't we? I wonder how many of our problems in our country, in this world, we're facing because of a shortage of godly fathers. But perhaps you doubt your abilities. Perhaps you struggle with feeling like you wouldn't do any good because you're keenly aware of your own shortcomings and failures. Well, I want to encourage you this morning as we look at God's Word. We're going to go ahead and pray, and then after that you can find Ephesians chapter 3 in your Bibles. But would you join with me and let's pray together this morning. Lord, we thank you. We come to you and we call you Father. And we do that because that's how you've revealed yourself to us. We come to you through your Son, Jesus Christ. And Lord, we confess our need for you as Father. We confess that you provide for us. We confess that you're holy. We confess that your residence is in heaven. We confess, God, that you are greater than the enemy. And we ask for protection that you provide. God, we ask, help us to glorify your name. And we ask, Lord, this morning that you would stir the hearts of men, not only in this room today, but God, around the country and around the world, stir the hearts of men to fill their created role. Father, we ask that you would meet us this morning. I pray all of us, men, women, children, in this room today would experience your touch, God, we experience your voice in our hearts. Speak to us. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. We're going to read in Ephesians chapter 3, verses 14 through 21. If you don't have your Bibles, we will have it on the screen for you to follow along if you'd like. But let's read this morning. We read the words of Paul. It says, "For this reason I kneel before the Father, from whom every family in heaven and earth derives its name. I pray out of His glorious riches He may strengthen you with power through His Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. And I pray that you, being rooted and established in love, may have power, together with all the Lord's people, to grasp how wide and how long and how high and how deep is the love of Christ, and to know this love that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God. Now to Him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine, according to His power that is at work within us, to Him be the glory in the Church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen." You know, as I was reading this in devotion a few months ago, I ran across this first couple verses here and feel like something just leapt out at me. We read in verses 14 through 15. It says, "For this reason I kneel before the Father, from whom every family in heaven and on earth derives its name." As Paul is, and I want you to go there with me in your imaginations with me, if you would. As Paul is writing this letter to the church in Ephesus, he mentions something very briefly in passing. It's almost just a little a blurb, little excerpt. It's a parenthetical statement prompted by the Holy Spirit as he's dictating this to the scribe who is writing down his words. He says the word Father. And in Greek, the word Father comes from his lips. And a flash of insight comes as he speaks the identity of our God who has revealed Himself as Father. And the Greek word for Father is pater. And as Paul is writing this letter to his Christian brothers and sisters in the churches at Ephesus, the word for family pops into his heart as well. See, the word for family is patria. And the word for family is derived from the word for father. And so we read, "The Father, from whom every family in heaven and on earth derives its name." So men, today is Father's Day. And if you are here and you are a dad and you're like me at all, you probably wrestle with all kinds of feelings related to that role. Regret for mistakes that you've made. Guilt for taking things out on the kids that had nothing really to do with them, but you only realized that afterwards. Wishing you were able to be more fun when the pressures of this life are weighing down upon you. The sometimes crushing weight of the responsibility in shaping these young lives into the men and women that they will one day become. Whether you are just beginning in that role, as Pastor Aaron is, or whether you're like me with kids about to hit the dreaded teenage years, God help me, or maybe you're at a later point in life, you're trying to determine how to be a dad to a young man or young woman who are embracing their own responsibilities and roles in this life, I want you to know something. Dads, you were made for this. Fathers, you were made for this. You may wrestle with feelings of inadequacy. You may wrestle with mistakes, but you were made for this. If you bear the name of Father, then family is the outflowing of that. You were made for this, created for this, designed for this. You were created for this, and I have good news for you as well. It's not all upon your shoulders. You do not have to bear that weight alone. You see, as fathers, we simply are functioning in the role that we see patterned in God Himself, who has revealed Himself as Father. And that what we just read is that every family on earth and in heaven bears that name. We are derived from that name. And so we have the created pattern and flowing of God working through us to to be what we've been created to be. If you are connected to God the Father through His Son, Jesus Christ, you have power and you have anointing to be a dad flowing through you. Thank God. And those mistakes that you make, God is even working through those to show His glory and His character. God is using you. If you are yet to be a father, you'll be a great one. As long as you hold the hand of God the Father and walk where He walks. We're made for this. And as much as we may doubt or struggle, we come back to the fact that God is the one who has given life. Life is not a product of a chemical reaction. God is the giver of life. And if God has given life to us and our families, we're made for this. We can depend upon Him. We bear His name. And so that should, as an outflowing, give us some godly confidence as we walk in this life. Ephesians 3:16, we read, "I pray that out of His glorious riches He may strengthen you with power through His Spirit in your inner being." You know, strength and power through His Spirit into you and out through you. God is wanting us to flow in strength, to flow in power, to flow in this confidence that comes through Him. You know, a man brimming over with strength and confidence who's connected to his purpose for being created seems to be a rare thing these days. You know, we have these values that have been cheapened and maligned these days. You know, for a man to walk in confidence and strength, well, you know, they're accused of arrogance or you know, who does he think he is? You know, that kind of thing. You know, just as a woman is most beautiful when she's gracious and nurturing and compassionate, so a man is best when he is strong and passionate, unwavering and protecting, bending low to serve those he loves because it takes strength to serve. And those values have been maligned these days. Strong men are often accused of arrogance. They're told that the hallmarks of what it means to be a man, like living and dying for a cause, like having passionate dreams, like the aggression that serves to propel men through life's difficulties and challenges, they're being told these are evil. I believe they're hardwired into the heart of a man to be a warrior, to be strong. And not in, you know, don't go in a caricature kind of way. You know, certainly there's been a lot of abuse, certainly that, and we're not talking about that, but that doesn't, you know, the old saying, we don't throw the baby out with the bathwater. There's a sanctifying, God, there's things in us by way of creation and by way of the fall. We need to bless those things that are in us by way of creation. Men are often the subject of ridicule in our sitcoms. You know, we assassinate the characters of our leaders today as if to say, how dare you presume to lead? Who do you think you are? We wonder why men of quality refuse to step into leadership roles. We wonder why our men often feel so insecure. We wonder why men are refusing to do the strong thing and admit that we have been wrong in this nation and that we need to repent and bow down really low before Almighty God and beg His forgiveness as a nation because we've been arrogant. We wonder, where are the leaders that will lead us to do this before we're completely undone as a nation? I want to encourage you. You know, I want God to help you stir up the gift that is within you. I want God to really stir up the flame of men stepping into the roles that they're created to be in. It is not arrogance to walk in the confidence and strength that God gives us in His Spirit. It is not arrogance to walk tall in His purpose. And it is most definitely not weakness to bend down low to worship God and to serve others. You know, you don't see this kind of hem-hawing, you know, self-questioning, self-doubting. You don't see that from the ultimate man, Jesus Christ. I mean, if we study his life, there's strength there. There's power. There's conviction. He confronted authority when it needed to be confronted. He came to show us the way not only to salvation, men, but also the way to be a man. To live strong, to walk with purpose, to embrace true humility, to love fiercely, to fight injustice, to protect the weak, to sacrifice for the sake of others. This isn't comic book superhero traits. These are the traits of a man that is filled with the Spirit of God and is following Jesus. You know, embrace your created role as a man. And don't allow a broken and rebellious culture to rob you of what God has intended for you, especially as a father. The kingdom of God is calling you to be a man, to be a father. Your family needs your strength. Come on. Can't you hear the theme of Rocky right now, right, playing in the background? You know, Apollo Creed is yelling at you to get the eye of the tiger, baby, right? Ta-na-na. Come on, feel it? That's why we like those movies. We're like, yeah. Yeah, you know, a movie is good. You know, you find a good man flick when you, like, leave the theater and you're almost looking for a fight, right? Like, I hope somebody messes with me right now. You know, because you think watching a movie is all of a sudden giving you these ninja skills, right? But you probably run away crying if somebody actually. But you know, you got stirred up, you know, and that's a good thing. And listen again. Let me say, I don't want you to get some caricature of what I'm talking about here. You know, I've shot a gun before. It was fun, you know, but that's not me. You know, I'm perfectly happy to sit in a Panera with a chai latte and do my city boy thing. You know what I mean? But that's not what we're talking about. We're talking about strength of character. Something put in you by the Spirit of God. You know, we read in verse 19. It says, "And to know this love that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God." The good news in all of this, we don't have to rely on our own strength. We don't have to go it alone. I know if I had to rely upon my own strength or my own willpower, you know, that's the value being touted in the Green Lantern movie, you know, is the power of will. Certainly there is a power in will and willing to do something. That's a gift from God. But if I had to rely upon my own willpower for really anything in this life, I would fall miserably short. We don't have to go it alone. We don't have to rely on our own strength. All of our true strength flows not from willpower, but by being filled with the Spirit of God. When strength is gone, when we fail, when we feel empty and weary, we have simply to go to the source of strength again and be filled again. Filled with the fullness of our God who loves us and who is our biggest fan. And we bear His name, fathers. We bear His name. This is not a strength or a love that flows from religious knowledge. Religious information does nothing, nothing in your moments of pain and sorrow. Just because you maybe went through a series of classes when you were young. Maybe you have a certificate. Maybe you went to a camp. Maybe you went to children's church when you were young and you have some information. It is utterly and completely useless in your moments of trial and pain and sorrow. Knowledge of God is absolutely worthless in life's trials and is utterly uninspiring. Paul speaks about knowing Jesus. And knowing His love that surpasses knowledge. It goes way beyond knowledge. He talks about experiencing God. Knowing Him. experiencing God in a continuous way, in a continuing, ongoing, continuing way, in a way that is transformational, in a way that turns us into the kind of dad that we want to be, the kind of dad that we were made to be. That kind of love is transformational. It is a kind of love that changes us. Religious knowledge does nothing like that, except maybe equip you to be, you know, get along in an argument if you want. But knowing Jesus, knowing His love. And finally, Paul wraps it up, and I believe it speaks right to the heart of a man. Now to Him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine, according to His power that is at work within us, to Him be the glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever and ever and ever and ever. Amen. It speaks to the heart of a dreamer. It speaks to the heart of a man who seeks to give himself to something larger than himself, to accomplish great feats, to accomplish, you know, to climb the highest mountain, to swim the deepest sea. He's saying, you know, all of that is found in Christ. He connects you. He's able to do so much more than anything that you can come up with. Anything that you can dream up with in your heart and your mind, God is able to take you so far beyond that to His glory. And I think that just speaks to the heart of man, like, yes, I want to be part of that. It's so hard today to find something to give ourselves to that isn't just totally tainted and just and disappointing and you know, it just falls short. Only God. Only service to Him and being a part of His kingdom will never fail you. It is what you were created to be, designed to be, to have the heart of a warrior as Christ had. And so we give ourselves to that. So men, let me challenge you in closing. Everything about this world communicates to you that you need to behave, that you need to sit still, that you need to not rock the boat, that you need to just play along, that you need to be another rat in the rat race and just mind your business. What if we just kind of threw that off? What if we chose to be dreamers again? What if we chose to trust God radically? What would happen in this world if we just refused to behave? That's kind of been my whole life anyway, but it's a sanctified way now, I hope. But what if we just threw that off and we dared to dream again? What would that look like? What's God speaking to your heart? Let Him stir that within you again. Would you stand with me? Jonathan, you can come on up. There's a desperate need for fathers who are radical in their faith, but constant in their faithfulness. You know, the kind of dreaming I'm talking about doesn't call us to leave our families behind. It doesn't call us to abandon them in our own pursuits. That's not how God works. He calls us to serve faithfully, but all the while our hearts are moving towards what God has for us. And if you, good news for you, if you are drawing breath this morning, God is not done with you yet. And so, fathers, I want to thank you for your faithfulness, for being there as a dad, for being consistent, for being for going to work, for earning a living, for providing for your children, which is often a thankless job. Often they don't know the burdens that you carry, the weight that's upon your heart to provide for your family, to be a good role model, to be those things that God has called you to be. And it's often not acknowledged and it's often maligned these days. So I want to say to you, thank you. Bless you. And may you grow in all of that. And may you know the fullness of His measure, fullness of God, and be filled with His Spirit. Do not give up. Do not fall short. Press through.